Here on the Kutei Halachas, Yoredeya, Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Yayin Nesach, Halacha Gimel, we're in the middle of paragraph Aleph. Rav Nosson Zal says now, Ki Yefshar Lasois Shum Dovar, it's impossible to accomplish anything in this world, Ulahoitzioi Mikoyach Alapoyal, to take something from thought to action, from potential to actualization. It must go through these three steps: thought, speech, and action. Every Jew wants to fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Whether they know it or not, they have a neshama inside. And the neshama wants to do mitzvahs and ma'asim and tovim. There's a famous Rambam where the Rambam speaks about the fact that there are certain circumstances where chas v'sholom, there's terrible situation between husband and wife, and we force the husband to give a get, to give a divorce. So the question is, how can you force a husband? We know that the Gemara, the Torah, makes it perfectly clear that a get must be given beratzon, that he has to want to give it. If the person is screaming, I don't want to give a get, and we punch him until he says, Roitza ani, okay, I want, I'm willing. The Rambam asks, what is that? That seems to be a joke. And he explains, it's not a joke. That really, deep down inside, every single Jew wants to do the right thing. Sometimes it's covered up by a lot of blockages and a lot of opposition, very often that we created through our averus, through all the things we've done wrong. So it seems as if the person really doesn't want, but deep down inside they do want. So here Rav Nosson Zal is telling us, ubemachshava, in that place called machshava, every Jew wants to fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Why? Ki Moshe malubash etzlam kanal, because as we explained in the previous shir, Moshe Rabbeinu, the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu, is cloaked inside of each and every single Jew. Aval, however, when a person is ready to actually perform the mitzvah or the good deed, whatever it is, it must go through a second stage of dibur, of speech, before it can get to being actualized, before the person actually performs the mitzvah. We know that usually we make a bracha before we do any mitzvah, birchas hamitzvos. We say l'shem yichud, those who are zeicha, and or we pray to Hashem, Hashem, please let me be zeicha to fulfill this mitzvah and to do it the right way. Ki kol hadvorim tzrichin lavor bebechinas machshava dibur amaisa koydim shiyotzim alapoyel kimavur mizeh b'makam acher. Because everything must go through these three stages before it can be actualized. As Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this in chapter 66 in Likud Imran, based on the Zohar HaKadosh. V'azai kishebo adova lebechinas dibur. Now, when this mission that the person wants to accomplish reaches phase two, which is dibur, speech, v'ikra dibur nimshach migvurois, and we know that dibur, speech, generally comes from the side of gvura, from the left side. Kamashikos of Rabbeinu Zal, as Rabbeinu Zal writes about this in chapter 38 in Likut Imran, Bibchinas, and as it says in Tehillim, Ugvurascha yedaberu, your Gevura will speak. Bibchinas, and as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Cham libi bekirbi, my heart is on fire, is hot inside of me. Behagigi, when I'm thinking about Hashem, when I'm thinking about mitzvahs, Tivar Eish, a fire burns inside of me, Dibarti Belishoini, and I speak with my tongue. That fire is expressed in the words that I say. Alkain, so because of the fact that Dibur is associated with Gvura and Eish, all of these things from the left side, Oz Mesoirin Hashivim Akum, Hanechozin Bohora Shebadomim Shebish Sagidin. This arouses the 70 nations who are associated with the negativity in the blood, and they're associated with the left side, as we learned earlier. Va'omdim kenegdoi, and these 70 nations rise up against the person, to prosecute against the person and to block the person from fulfilling whatever mitzvah, whatever holy act the person wants to accomplish. Not enough that they want to block the person and prevent the person from performing all the mitzvahs or any holy items. They even want to try to tease the person and convince the person to commit sins. Al yidei tigboiras hadamim, by strengthening the negativity in the blood. Shemishom ikar hayetzahara v'ataivos kayadua. And that's where the yetzahara and all the evil desires come from inside of a person. The spoiled blood, the damaged blood, the blood in the left side of the heart. Umishom ikar koyach habchira v'hanisoyon shel kol adam. And this is where the whole bechira, the whole concept of free choice comes in. And the person being tested. Whereby the person has to use the good energy inside of themselves, the Yetzer Tov, the goodwill inside of themselves, to overpower the negative forces inside of themselves, of this spoiled blood. The spoiled blood, which is the 70 nations. Not only does the person have to try to defeat and eliminate the negativity that's in this blood, the lasois mitzvois sudvorim shebikdusha, and to perform mitzvois and acts of holiness, mikolshkein, the kolshkein, shaloi lamalois tavosoi, and most definitely not to satisfy his sinful urges and desires, v'shaloi lasois averis chashon, and not to commit sins chashon. Not only does the person have to do all of that, af gam hu tzorech lehizgaber al hadomim ad sheyahafoich mihefech al hefech, to overpower that negativity in the blood, those negative forces in the blood, and turn them around completely, convert them into positive. Sheyahafoich kol chamimus uresichas hadomim el hakedusha, to convert all of that fire that's in the blood, the negative fire, the fire of the Yetzahara, to convert all of that to holiness. What do we mean? Dahainu sheyase hamitzvah v'hadover shebikdusha b'chamimus halev u'behislavos godel dikdusha. It's not enough for a Jew to do a mitzvah. The person has to strive to do the mitzvah with fire, with passion, with tremendous holy hislavos. Sheze hachamimus vahislavus nimshach mehadomim shebisagidin. Where do you get that fire from? You get that fire from the Yetzirah, from the negative aspects in that blood that's flowing through those 365 gidin. Shezocho lahachmiyam, which the person was zeched to defeat the negativity, ulahofcham elakedusha, and convert them into holy fire. Vize ikar shlemus hamitzvah vo'avoida. This is called performing a mitzvah or serving Hashem for real, properly. When the mitzvahs are being done with chius, with energy, with fire. The pasuk says, Eish lefonov teilech usalahet saviv tzorov. A fire burns and destroys all the enemies in their path, all the enemies, all the obstacles. So that avodas Hashem requires this fire, this passion. Ki mi she'oise mitzvah belishum chius v'hislavus aleiv, because a person who performs a mitzvah without this energy, without this life, without this hislavus, this passion in the heart, ein ze shleimus avoda. That's not really doing it right. That's not perfection in serving Hashem. But rather, it's like a pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya, where the Navi reprimands the Jews and says, you're doing the mitzvahs by rote. You're doing it like an automated machine. Get up and put on my talit, put on my tefillin, say the shachrita. But it's got no life, it's got no passion. The ikar shleimus avoda, hu sheyizgaber v'yishtadel sheyase kol hamitzvahs, Achamimus vehislavus halev. Real serving Hashem is where the person is performing all of the mitzvahs with fire, with passion. Shezeh nimshach al yidei bitul hamaniyas daika. Where does one get that fire from? Do I go to a gas station? Where do I get that from? Rav Nosson Sal says, I'll tell you exactly where you get it from. You get it from overcoming obstacles. Anybody that does exercises, no pain, no gain. No resistance, no muscles, no power. Dahainu al yidei shehizgabru kenegdoi menios rabois. By major obstacles rising up against the person that are created by the negative blood inside of the person. The Averois, the Rapsukim in the Torah, where it says, your sins are what created these blockages, these walls between Hashem and you. So it's our sins that create these menias, these obstacles. The who his gaber kenegdom, and the person rose up and battled these obstacles. At shehofcha melakedusha, not only did he destroy the obstacles, but he converted them into holiness. At sheoise hamitzvah besimcha vehislav as gadol, to the point where the person performs mitzvahs with joy and happiness, with passion. You should love Hashem with your entire heart. And in Hebrew, it should have said, b'chol libcha, with your heart. It doesn't say that. It says, b'chol levavcha, and the Gemara says, b'shnei yitzorecha. Serve Hashem with both yetzers, with your good yetzer and your bad yetzer, with your good inclination and your evil inclination. B'yetzer toiv or b'yetzer hara. How do you serve Hashem with your yetzer hara? Ki ikar shleimus avoda. Because really serving Hashem properly, sheyafoy chayetzahara, dainu b'chinas resicha sadamim el hakedusha, requires converting the yetzahara, which is that fire, that passion that a person has inside their heart, the passion for sin, the passion for pigama bris, the passion for chocolate and cake, all the taivas of this world, to convert it to holiness. El ha'ava dikdusha. I love Hashem. I love the Torah. I love the tzaddik. The pasuk says, "Niflesi ahavas choli me'avas noshim." That when Yonasan and David HaMelech, these two best friends, "Niflesi ahavas choli," the love that I feel towards you is greater than the love that a man feels towards women. And Rabbeinu Zal quotes that pasuk, defining the love that a person is supposed to have for the tzaddik. Bechinas. V'yohavtas Hashem, as the pasuk says, you love Hashem b'shnei yitzorecha, with two yetzers. The kisheyafoich resichas hadom elakdusha, when a person succeeds in converting that fire in the blood, the fire for sin, he succeeds in converting it to holiness. Sheyivar halev b'shalhiven derechimusat l'Hashem yisborach, that the person's heart is on fire with love for Hashem. V'oz smoil nichlal b'yamin. When a person accomplishes that, they're taking the left and merging it into the right. Shehagvurois nichlolin b'chesed. The negative side, the left side, the gvurois, are being merged into the chesed, the right side. B'chinas ahava ki ikar shleimus u'avoida ki shezoiche le'avois Hashem yisborach v'la'aseh samitzis. Because really serving Hashem properly is when the person is zoicha to love Hashem and do the mitzvahs in that way. Shehein bechinas ahava v'chesed. This is the concept of love and kindness. B'shnei hayitzorin, with both yetzers. B'bechinas v'yohavto b'shnei yitzorech, like the Gemara says. She'oz ho'ahava behislavus godol. Then the ahava, the love, is with tremendous passion, as the Zohar Kodesh calls it, a fire of love. And then the person is combining, he's merging the left into the right. Sheze ikar hashleimus. That's perfection. That's real, authentic Yiddishkeit. Kayodua, as is known. I'm reminding myself of the story in Sipurei Maaseis, the eighth story in Sipurei Maaseis, which in a certain way is my favorite, Ravu ben Yochid, the rabbi who had an only child. And it's incredible how Rabbeinu Zal in 2 pages can put the whole Yiddishkeit and a person's whole life into those 2 pages, where he tells about a rabbi who didn't have children for a long time and finally had a son. So you could imagine the love between the father and son. He raised the son, and the son is learning and davening, Rabbeinu Zal says. He's doing everything right, and yet he feels something's missing, and he doesn't know what it is. And Rabbeinu Zal says there, he approaches some young men, and he tells them what his story. And they tell him, you have to go to this tzaddik. You have to go to this tzaddik, and he'll be able to help you. He approaches his father. The father, the rabbi, tells the father the problem. And the father says, what are you talking about? You know more, you're more learned than him. We have bigger yichus than him. It would be an insult to you and to our family for you to go to that person. Forget it. Get this out of your mind completely. Just go back and continue learning and davening. Goes back to learning and praying. Something's missing. And he doesn't know what it is. Goes back to the friends and they say, go to that tzaddik. Goes back to daddy. Daddy says, ridiculous, absurd, go back to... This happens several times until the son realizes, forget it, this isn't working. He tells the father, I must go. Non-negotiable. The father says, if you must go, then you'll go, but I'm going with you. I'm not going to let you go alone. And we're not going to go through the whole story. Those of you who have the Sefer, you can look it over again. Those that remember, those that don't have it, it's worth buying the Sefer just for this story. Before they take on the trip, the father says, listen to this. If everything goes smooth, then we know that this is something Hashem wants us to do. If there's problems, it'll be a sign from heaven that this is not what I want to do. The rabbi says this. They go, and then they're riding, and they go over a narrow bridge, and the horses slip and knocks the whole wagon into the river. They almost drown. The father says to the son, "This it's pretty obvious that Hashem does not want us to make this trip, right? Let's go home." They go home. The son goes back to learning and praying. It's not working. Says to father, "We're going." The father says, "Okay. If we see Hashem testing us, if we see problems, we'll know it's not what Hashem wants." They go. And they're riding, and suddenly both axles of the wagon break at the same time. Front axle, back axle. The father says to the son, you know how many times we've ridden in this wagon? This never happened before. Clear proof from Hashem that this is not what Hashem wants us to do. They go back home. Third time. I have to leave something to get you to read the story. In the end, they turn back. The son dies. And the son comes to a father in a dream, and he's angry, boiling mad. And the father says, what are you angry about? The son says, go to that tzaddik, you'll find out what I'm angry about. So the father says, dreams. Everybody knows dreams are baloney. The dream comes again and again. It's not baloney. It's salami. This is the real deal. And the father picks himself up and he travels. I'm leaving out still a major part of the story. Don't think I'm telling the whole story. You have to read it. And the father finds out that this was just the satan who put all of these obstacles in their past. And the son, in this case, this boy was the Moir HaKotan. And it's written that if the Moir HaKotan and the Moir HaGodol get together, if the little light and the big light get together, Mashiach comes. They can bring Mashiach. And that's why the Sultan put so many obstacles to block this particular young man from coming to the Tzaddik. The Sultan said to the father, you can go. If you go, the world isn't going to change. If this young man would have gotten to the tzaddik, it would have been game over. Mashiach would have come. And Rabbeinu Zal ends the story on that note. The father screams, Chaval, Chaval, al da'avdan v'lamishtakin. Woe is to us for a loss that cannot be retrieved. One of the chidushim here is that my Rebbe, Reb Michal Zichron Avrocha, said that it's not Rabbeinu Zal's style to end the story on such a note. The son dies, the father goes, and all is lost. Have a nice life. He said that could be such a thing occur. But then came Rav Nosson Zal. And Rav Nosson Zal had all the obstacles that this young man had, plus 1,000 more. And Rav Nosson Zal didn't quit. And he didn't listen to his father and his father-in-law, who were giants, tzaddikim, very righteous people. He kept searching for the truth until he found Rabbeinu Zal. And Rab Nosson Zal is the Moir HaKoton, he's the moon, and Rabbeinu Zal is the sun. And they did get together, and they did achieve everything they needed to, so that we believe, Be'emunah Shleima, that the combination of those two is bringing Moshiach. It is going to bring Moshiach. Why is it taking so long? Because of us. We're the obstacles, obviously. If we'll get out of the way, if we'll do what we're supposed to do, then the Moir HaGodla and the Moir HaKoton will be able to complete the job. Any questions?
Whoever the Rav was, is that to say that it's a process that he went through in order to see that there was more to Yiddishkeit than he thought before?
Exactly. Exactly. One of the commentaries on Sipuri Maisius is Rimzei Maisius. It's called The Hints Regarding These Stories, which was written by Reb Nachman Chirin, possibly the greatest Talmud Chacham among the students of Reb Nosson Zal. And he writes that this story is an incredible, wondrous story, an incredible Musar, how the Satan tries to use every trick in the book to block a person from coming close to the true tzaddik. And he adds here, the main thing is, V'ho'ikr mehatzaddik sheboi tolui kol tikvas Yisrael. Specifically, from the tzaddik upon whom the entire hope of the Jewish people depends. And then he goes on to say, and the greater the person is, the more he has something special about him, the more the obstacles that block that person. Because if that person were to come close to the tzaddik, who knows what kind of good would come out of it and what kind of a tikkun for the entire Jewish nation and for all the worlds. Because he says here, we see that this tzaddik, it's not that nobody knew about him. Remember, when this young man approached his friends, they said, go to that tzaddik. So they obviously knew about that tzaddik. But their knowing about the tzaddik didn't shake up the whole world, didn't change the world. If this young man, this son of the rabbi, if he would have come close to the tzaddik, that would have changed the whole world. And that's why it's important in the story that Rabbeinu Zal said, they didn't tell him go to a tzaddik. They didn't say that. They said go to this tzaddik, because all tzaddikim are not the same. There are some people who say, of course, all the sick people have to go to Uman. Uman is a hospital, it's for sick people. I ain't sick, so I don't need a hospital, I'm good. In this story, it's made clear again that this young man was not a non-religious or a weak in religion. He was learning and davening. And still, in order for him to be able to really feel what a person's supposed to feel when doing a mitzvah and learning Torah, he had to go to the tzaddik. Even a person who is involved in serving Hashem and is learning and praying constantly, always, tamid. Afal pikein, despite that, lehargish tam bavoidosoi, to be able to feel the true sweetness that a person's supposed to feel in serving Hashem, velavoides Hashem besimcha, and to be able to serve Hashem with real joy and excitement and happiness, v'shetia avoidosoi shleima b'li shum chisoroin, and that the person's serving of Hashem should be perfect, there should be nothing lacking in it, hurak al yidei hiskarvus lahatzadik emes. It can only be accomplished by coming close to the true tzaddik, as we see in this story and in many other places in Rabbeinu Zal's teachings. Again, I'm giving you some of it. For the full light, study the story and look at the commentary yourself. But things here are made very clear by giants, authentic Masorah of Breslov. And again, I don't like to include myself that much, but when I was 16 years old and I was raised in a religious home and I went to good quality yeshivas, Torah Vadas, Kloisenberg for kindergarten and Torah Vadas, and had good religious learned rabbis. And yet when I met Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, and I started hearing his shiurim, and he wasn't into theatrics, he didn't raise his voice, he didn't, when you hear them speaking, it seems pretty regular, but I was zeicher to realize that it was extremely irregular, that this person had a passion, he was zeicher to be Mekurov to Rabbeinu Zal, to Breslov, and to the tzaddikim in Breslov at that time. And because of that, he had this fire, this passion. And again, you didn't see it. You didn't see his eyes glowing. But if you listened carefully and you watched carefully, you saw that a Breslov, a chassid, has what's being described here, has a deep, deep, complete love for Hashem, for Torah and mitzvot, and a passion that's incredible, that any person who will come close to them will be able to taste that, will be able to get it on their level.
So Rabbi, to say that, not to knock any big rabbi, it's just to say that even a rabbi on such a level could be in this position where they wouldn't see it.
Exactly, exactly. Because they have their tests, the rabbis have their tests, and every person's neshama is different also. There are people that ask, is everyone supposed to be Breslov? Are you saying that all the Chabad Hasidim are supposed to leave Chabad and become Breslov? The answer is that there's a concept of Shoyresh Neshama, chapter 66 in Likut Imran, which we mentioned earlier, where Rabbeinu Zal refers to the tzaddik as the trunk of a tree, and the students are branches and leaves on the tree. Now, Reb Nachman Shirin made it perfectly clear that not every tzaddik can change the world. There are tzaddikim that can affect 100 people, 1,000 people, 30,000 people, and there is a tzaddik upon whom the tikkun of the entire world and all of the worlds are dependent on that tzaddik, that individual tzaddik. There's a pasuk, v'tzaddik yisoid oilam. It doesn't say v'tzaddikim. Every tzaddik is a bechin of yisoid, but there's a tzaddik who is yisoid oilam. All tzaddikim are not the same. And each person has to search to find their shoresh neshama and to try to come close to the tzaddik that can benefit them the most. And again, when we study the example that we have, which is Rav Nosson Zal, who Rabbeinu Zal defined as the best student, we study his life and we study what he did, the search that he made, all the different stages of his search to get to where he got to. And we try to learn from him how to apply it to ourselves. Interesting to note, this term that Rav Nosson Zal used here, shalhuven derechimusa, that there should be this fire of love, that's the term that the Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal use about Friday, Erev Shabbos, that when a person is coming out of the 6 days of the week, going into Shabbos, one of the major preparations for Shabbos Kodesh is a hot shower or a hot bath, Ritzichas Maim Cham in Erev Shabbos. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that by us turning on the hot water down here, this doesn't mean burning yourself, Chas V'Shalom. It means warm to hot, what a person can handle, you know, reasonably. This opens a faucet in Shamayim, and a shalhuven derechimusa, a fire of love, comes down from Hashem, and that fire ensures that the negative forces that are not allowed to enter into Kedusha should be pushed away, should be destroyed, and only that negativity that can be included in the Kedusha, the klipas noiga, we're learning here about converting the Yetzahara to Kedusha, only those things that can be converted and brought into Kedusha should be able to be brought in to complete the picture, to complete the Kedusha of Shabbos. V'zeh b'chinas ki azo kamoves avo koshe kishoil kino rishofeho rishpeyesh. This is the pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Again, Friday afternoon, one of the important preparations for Shabbos is to recite Shir HaShirim on Erev Shabbos. So there the pasuk says, our love is as powerful as death. Our jealousy is like she'oil, like the most powerful fire of Gehenna. Rishofeho rishpeyesh. Again, speaking about this incredible fire. Shetihye ho'avol Hashem Yisborach bebechinas rishpeyesh. Our love for Hashem should be like this flaming fire with tremendous passion. Shezeh nimshach mirasichas hadomin. Where do you take that fire from? You take that fire from the fire inside of yourself. That fire in the blood, the passion in the blood that the Yetzirah tries to direct towards all the tivus rois of the materialistic world. Shemahapchim ala kedusha. And we redirect them towards holiness. Shezeo bechinas she'oyven as Hashem Yisborach gam im ha'Yetzirah. This is called loving Hashem with your Yetzirah. V'zehu, and this is why the pasuk uses this wording, that the love is as powerful as death. What does death have to do with love? She'ikar shleimus ha'ava al yidei ha'yitzahara shu sitra d'maisa. When does a person know that they really love Hashem enough? When they were able to take the angel of death, the Yetzirah, inside of us, and bring him into the equation, make him a member of the side of Kedusha. Kishenishapech al ha-Kedusha kanal. Kama shekosov Rabbeinu Zal b'likutei tanina b'simen memtes. As Rabbeinu Zal writes in the second half of Likutei Moran, chapter 49, Shehu maila gedoyla kisheyesh la'odam Yetzirah. That it's a tremendous benefit to a person when he has the Yetzirah, when he has the resistance, when he has Menias, because then he's going to get stronger. Then his punch is going to be a different punch completely. What do you mean? He punched and he punched. He did a mitzvah, he put on tefillin, he put on tefillin. His tefillin is 100 watts and his tefillin is 1 billion watts. She lit candles and she lit candles. Her candles is 100 watts and the other person's candles is 1 billion watts. And the way that a person changes that is by coming close to the tzaddik. Because the tzaddik is trillions of watts. The tzaddik is the one who has converted his Yetzirah completely, completely to toiv, you know, brought him inside. And the tzaddik has the highest level of passion, you know, for Hashem and everything. And those that come close to him, he's able to share that with them. Question in the chat. When we're not confronted with this fiery blood, a person isn't passionate about the wrong things, how do we come to force ourselves to feel passion? But emotions are rarely under our control, while machshava is. That's what some sfarim say. And our sfarim say differently, that our thoughts and our emotions are definitely under our control. A person can turn it on, and a person can turn it off. There's an expression, fake it till you make it. Force the smart, force it, and sometimes that could be lighter fluid. Just like you take a perfect log. You can barbecue 600 cows on this log. It's got some, you know, and you try to light a match to it, and it doesn't go. It ain't working, and more and more. And then somebody comes along with this lighter fluid and spills some of it over some newspapers or some little twigs. And then they light it, and the fire starts, and that log burns for 72 hours and everything. Rabbeinu Zal's Sfarim are full of etzos regarding simcha. Another word for this ahava, for this passion, is simcha. And simcha is something that the whole world is lacking today, including Klal Yisrael. And another word for Yiddishkeit is simcha. There's a pasuk, Pikutei Hashem Yishorim Esamchei Lev. The mitzvahs of Hashem bring joy to the heart. So another word for Yiddishkeit, Judaism, is simcha. And there's a pasuk, Nosata Simcha Belibi, that the place for simcha is in the heart. It starts out as a cardiac thing. There are many psukim that speak about that. And from the heart, the pasuk says, Liboi Noso Esraglov. The heart has to broadcast that message to all parts of the body, to the brain, and even down to the feet, even down to the toes. So that the heart picks up the feet and the person starts dancing. They start jumping and clapping hands, the way a real Jewish simcha is supposed to be. A person who comes close to the tzaddik and learns the sforim of the tzaddik and watches the tzaddik will see and experience all of this and will be able to integrate it if the person wants and tries with sincerity. The Torah defines Yiddishkeit. There's a passion. There's b'chol levavcha. Where's the levavcha? Where's your yetzahara? Where's the fire? And this is the sforim of the tzaddikim. And the people of the tzaddikim, we learn about how to deal with our thoughts and emotions. Anyone else, please? Oh, good question. How much of this holy, passionate fire is visible on the outside? The answer is, it depends on many different circumstances. It's written about Rabbeinu Zal, that Rabbeinu Zal on the outside didn't show so much simcha, and he once commented about it, that because he's a descendant of David HaMelech, and David HaMelech was on the side of Lev Nishbar, broken heart. That's why they don't necessarily express it so visibly. But a person learns Likutei Moran, that's the only sefer that says Mitzvah Gedoyla Liyos B'Simcha Tomid. No other rabbi wrote those words. And here again, my rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, or my Rebbe, Reb Michel, if you spent quality time with these people, if you watched them carefully, you saw the passion, not necessarily in making a lot of noise, but coming from their heart. You were able to see, you got a glimpse of their heart. I remember my Rebbe, Reb Michel Dorfman, Zichron Avrucha, the book that can be written and the book that I hope will be written about him, when somebody wakes up and does it, it's a shame, to read what this person went through in his life from when he was born in communist Russia, and his father was buried alive, and they were so poor that they didn't have floor tiles. They had a dirt floor in their house. And during the winter, the walls were wet. His mother contracted rheumatism because there was no heating, no proper heating for sure, and the walls were wet, dripping wet during the winter time. And his father was buried alive. The Nazis decided to do something special for his father because his father was a rabbi. So they had him dig a grave and they buried him alive. And then two of his three daughters passed away during his lifetime and went to Siberia for 6 years and 7 months and more and more and more. Rabbi Nizal has a story in Sipurei Maisis where he speaks about a child that was made from Avonim Toivos, from precious stones. My observation was that Reb Michel didn't have blood in his veins, he had tears in his veins. He was wall-to-wall tears. And there were rare occasions when I saw it, and there were less rare occasions when I heard about it from him, when he spoke about it, and I knew how real it was. Towards the end of his life, I saw when anything would come up that there was emotion, both by him and by his close friend, Reb Moshe Burstein. You saw that immediately the tears started flowing to their eyes and they slammed on the brakes to hold on to it. They didn't want to cry in front of people, but I saw their eyes swell up with tears. So there was tremendous Lev Nishbor, and tremendous difficulties and tests. And at the same time, there was a simcha. Just a tiny little example. We live in Eretz Yisrael and it's summertime now. It's the middle of July, Tammuz, and in the middle of the day, sometimes it gets pretty warm, even here in Yerushalayim, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that was usually, often a time when I picked up Reb Michel to take him to the yeshiva, to go to different meetings and everything. And he'd come out of his house and he'd get into the car, and just walking from his house to the car, feeling the intensity of the sun, you really felt it. And he'd get into the car and say, "Fine environment, Royce. Nice and warm outside." He didn't have to say that, but he did have to say that. Being an authentic Jew and a Breslover, he wanted to crack a joke for his benefit, for my benefit, to say something funny. And there were other times, the Gemara speaks about the rabbis who prepared books of jokes, books of Mili Dishtusa, that they would start a shiur with a joke, something to perk people up, and then switch gears to go into serious mode. So it's not like this is a negotiable thing, that there's this branch of Jews, this minority, this fringe group in Klal Yisrael called Hasidim, who are into this thing of joy. The story of the Ravu Ben Yochid. This young man realized something's missing, and even though his father was a rabbi, he understood that he wasn't going to get it from his father. And he went searching and searching for the right one, just like Rav Nosson Zal. Rav Nosson Zal writes about his father with the greatest respect. His father was a Talmud Chacham and a Yerei Shamayim and a Baal Tzedakah, everything. His father-in-law was nuclear. Rav Nosson Zal said that before he met Rabbeinu Zal, he couldn't figure out what Moshe Rabbeinu had over his father-in-law in every facet of Yiddishkeit. But Rav Nosson Zal writes that after he became a Kuruv to Hasidus, and after he came to Rabbeinu Zal, one of the ways that he described it, there's a food called a knish. It has potatoes, it has fried onions, it has salt, it has pepper, and if it's prepared properly, done right, it's one of those wows. But a knish, if you put it in the refrigerator, you put it in the freezer or in the refrigerator, and you take it out real cold and you eat it, even though it has all the ingredients, you are not going to get what a knish is really all about. A hot, fresh knish, you eat that, you're wondering how they're going to top this in Gan Eden. And Rav Nosson Zal said he came to a realization that that's the difference between the Jews who are performing mitzvahs the way he describes here, with this fire, with this hislavos, versus those people who don't have that. They put on the talis, they put on the tefillin, they learn Gemara and Mefarshim and everything, But if they don't have that, if it's not hot, if it's not warm, it's lacking. The Baal Shem Tov says an incredible, powerful word. The Gemara speaks about bringing children into the world. And the Gemara says that in order to bring a child into the world, a person has to get married, and there has to be a union between husband and wife. But the Gemara says there's another requirement. Eiver chai moilid, eiver meis einoi moilid. If that part of the body is alive, then it can produce seed that can produce children. If it's not, it can't. And the Baal Shem Tov said, this means that when a person's performing mitzvahs, putting on tefillin, lighting candles on Erev Shabbos, if it's Eiver Chai, if you're doing it with chias, if you're doing it because you love doing it, you're not rushing, I have to light candles, I love lighting candles. This is my greatest success this week, is going to be lighting those candles on Erev Shabbos. This is winning the lottery. If a person is Zoyche, then it's Eiver Chai, then it produces. Question, aren't there lots of Litvish Gedolim whose avoida is besimcha and passion without this direct hiskashrut to tzaddikim in a chassidish way? The answer is, Rabbi Nizal speaks about this, that there are people who are directly attached to tzaddikim and there are people who are indirectly. They don't even know, they don't see that wire that's going under the ground that's connecting them to the tzaddik. They don't even know where that fire, that passion is coming from. So there is such a possibility. V'zehu, and this is what the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Ki azo kamoves ahava. The love is as powerful as death. I don't get it. What does love have to do with death? Listen to Rav Nosson Zal's answer. She'ikr shleimus ho'ava, real complete love is al yidei hayetzahara. When can a person say that they really love Hashem? When they include the Yetzirah, Shehu Sitra Demoisa, who is called Death, the Angel of Death, Kishen Eshapech al HaKedusha, when we convert that in Kedusha. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos. And now this Shabbos is Shiv Osir B'Tamuz. We're beginning the 3 weeks, which are called Bein HaMetzorim. It's a sad time for Klal Yisrael. It says that all those who wanted to persecute Klal Yisrael were able to get at us during this time. That's one interpretation of that pasuk, Kol Roi Fei Sigun Atzorim. And the Breslover said, Kol Roi Feho, all those that will run after the Shechina can reach the Shechina during this 3 week period. It doesn't say those who will fulfill mitzvahs. It says Roi Feho, run, chasing after. When do you chase after something? When you're passionate about it. That's when you Roi Feho, running after it. We should be oyev shalom, veroydev shalom, oyev esabriyos in the kavanator. We should love peace and run after peace. And the Torah is called peace. We should run after the Torah, the tzaddikim, and all of Klal Yisrael. Chase after every Jew to say good Shabbos, to show a happy face to people in a good way. And be zeicha to see the gula shleima b'mher b'meinu. Amen v'amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rav Nathan.
The Sefer on Rav Rosenfeld, I hope, is going to be coming out very shortly. I hope within the next few weeks at the most, Mr. Shah.